All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, with the help of Elon Musk, I have created a personal spacecraft for us.
Reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can put a car into space. Can he put a podcaster into space? It's time to find out.
I almost said something really bad. A car is more useful to society than a podcaster.
Not one of Elon Musk's cars.
Yeah, true.
You can't find the gas cap on them. Everything is different for no reason. there's a worse iPad like screaming at you the whole time you drive it.
Yeah, you know, I opened up the hood on one of those bad boys. Nothing in there.
Just a
big old trunk on the front, trunk on the back. What's the deal?
Yep, junk in the frunk.
Mm.
So I figured we would use this spacecraft to travel faster than light. And you know how in movies and stuff, they always show that the view becomes this like stretched out, you know, kind of kaleidoscopic.
Yeah, it's the hyperspace warp from Star Wars.
Yeah. Or from 2001 or from Spaceballs, anything mm-hmm. like that. So I figure we will we'll do that. And then in that random pattern, we will see the next game we'll play, and we'll play it in our new home, light years away, because this also has the double effect of letting us leave Earth.
Okay.
Where things are bad.
Cool.
There was a tear gas tornado in my town last night.
I didn't know
that was a thing.
I saw a photo of that. Like,
yeah.
They're making tornadoes
out of tear gas now.
So, if you had asked me before if that could happen, I would say, yeah, but why?
In lab conditions. You know, not in the wild.
I made a tornado inside of two 2 liter bottles, okay? Like a vortex.
And yeah, I'm a fourth grade science teacher. Not like just in the street, like a random encounter. I can't handle it, so we got to go.
No, yeah. Goodbye, I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, goodbye and goodbye.
Yep. Goodbye and no luck. So here, just go ahead and strap in. There's a seatbelt thingy.
Okay. All right. And are we just like looking for like a QR code in this, or are we just down for the ride and we're going to see what's up?
No. I think that there'll just be like some random patterns, and eventually like maybe our brains will suggest something.
Gotcha.
From it.
Okay.
Because I don't know how much training you've had in terms of withstanding G-forces.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had very little.
I grew up near Cedar Point, so I'm okay.
You did okay? I'm going to get real sick on you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to get real sick too. You know, my equilibrium has changed a lot as I've gotten older, so.
Yeah. You'll be pleasantly surprised, though, because I did choose an array of things to eat and drink to make sick really interesting.
Okay, so did you just eat like a bunch of Jacks and BBs?
Yeah, all kinds of shit. Yeah.
I swallowed a bunch of Kinder Eggs whole. So that way I'm gonna
my whole body is a Kinder
Egg. Toys. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a human Kinder Egg.
Yeah.
Who even knows what I'm gonna yarp up?
God, I love the idea of drinking a shitload of BBs and becoming a human Claymore.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Boomer here. All right. let me press the big go button.
Okay. All right. Oh,
that feels weird.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, no.
It's like the worst roller coaster. This sucks.
It's not rumbling the way that I would. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, Gary, no. No.
Barf. Oh. In space, I make a really cute sound when I puke. Barf. What's happening to me? Barf. Barf.
Did you swallow a Pokemon named Barf?
I swallowed baby. I'm swallowed.
Wait,
baby.
Gary, before it hits the window, what are we seeing?
Barf? Just patterns. It's hard to... Barf. It's hard to see.
I can't be here anymore. I can't be here anymore. I need to get out of
here.
Close
your eyes. Go. Well, you can't open the door. We're in space.
Can somebody help us?
There's no help. We're just gonna keep going. Nothing's to stop us.
Gary.
Well, it kind of looks like if you unfocus your eyes, it looks like the screen is showing the picture like colors.
Okay.
There's five colors, and their arrayed as five different figures.
What? Oh, that's red and blue.
Blue and green, probably.
Yeah, it reminds me of the Power Rangers.
And then girl, the fifth color.
the fifth color is lady.
Is girl. Oh, yeah, it looks like the Power Rangers. What we need is a light speed rescue.
Oh, wait. Oh boy. I have a terminal for the game computer in here. We're good. Barf. Yeah, okay. You shut it down. We're good. That's a game. Barf. That's a video.
All right, let me press the button again. Oh, we're going double.
Now start doing Jingle Bells so I can sell an album of this. We'll make millions.
I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering. Abject Suffering, the upper echelon of the Buck Bumble community.
Oh, is that like when they called us the upper souls,
the upper
community?
Souls community?
I forgot about that. Community. That was really fun.
Yeah, we used to be part of the upper souls community now.
Yeah. No.
Not so much.
You guys used to be cool, man.
We're at the top of the Immortal Unchained community, baby.
yeah, so, the upper souls community was getting a little bit crowded.
This used to be about the souls.
this week we are talking about Saban's Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue. This was a patron demand by Dr. Wen. Specifically, we're talking about the Game Boy Color version, which is weirdly. Oh.
Well, I didn't play the Game Boy Color version.
Oh, okay. I told you that in the message that I sent you.
I know, but it wasn't on the calendar. Oh. And I didn't have the memory. It just said Saban's Lightspeed Rangers, and there's four different versions. So okay.
Well, we could talk
I
about this.
I played the PS1 version.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'll put on the Game Boy Color version in the...
We can do a little. We can do a little book report on this. Yeah, but
there's nothing to report.
Not really.
In the
no.
PlayStation version, or I assume the Game Boy version.
Game Boy version is actually kind of fine. This was demanded by Dr. Wen, who said this was the only season of Power Rangers I got into as a kid, which means that they are shockingly young. So much so that I had all the Megazord toys. I also had this game, which I remember being far too difficult for a game based on a kid's property, at least for this kid me.
Hmm.
Yeah. So thank you, Dr. Wen. This is not the first time we've talked about Power Rangers. I think we did an episode about like an SNES beat 'em up or something in the past.
We did.
Yeah.
We certainly talked about the Power Rangers. So I'm self-conscious about repeating my Power Rangers takes.
Yeah, it's been long enough that they will not be exactly the same. You were too old for Power Rangers.
My views on the Power Rangers have evolved. I now have very different views, because the things that somebody in their mid 30s says about the Power Rangers is very different than something that somebody in their late 30s.
Yeah,
it's a totally different generation when it comes to Power Rangers opinions.
Yeah. A 35-year-old who has opinions about Power Rangers drives like this.
Yeah, and commands a shocking speaker's fee.
You alluded to something, and I feel like there's something that we ought to say at the start here. And I just I thought this was fucked up even at the time. But the fact that like the Black Ranger was the black guy and the Yellow Ranger was the Asian girl, and the Pink Ranger was the white girl, seems really bad to me.
I think they changed. I think at one point the Green Ranger was a black guy.
Okay.
At some point. In like one of the later, because there's just infinite Power Rangers. Like,
yeah.
And I get the sense that there are probably, you know, dozens and dozens of Power Rangers shows that we didn't even get here.
Right. Well, I mean, so we never got the Sentai shows. They like we probably got all of the Power Ranger shows that they made. Because
they've got all of them.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like the Power Rangers, but like that was the American production. It was like the Power Rangers were the was like the rapper and the voiceover put on like the Sentai fighting stuff over that was produced over in Japan. But yeah,
I guess like, I met with all these specific characters, like the Sentai stuff that was specific to the Power Rangers brand.
I've got no idea.
I could be wrong about that, but it's I know that it is part of a rich cultural genre of like men who are dressed up as people who dress up as five colors beating each other up.
Right. Men and ethnic women in tights.
Doing, and then every once in a while there's Godzilla shit.
Yes. Yeah. There's a kaiju. You have Bulk and Skull. But yeah, they churned through the child actors like it was Menudo. I think it was kind of like the original Alfalfa. I think they were just owned by the studio, except for the Blue Ranger who stuck around for 10 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was their wizened old master.
Yes.
He was the vet.
Uh-huh.
He was a veteran of the Power Ranger Wars. he's got that 1,000-yard stare. Only a Power Ranger can have.
The character's name was Billy Cranston. Hi.
Yeah.
Billy Cranston.
Well, then it's interesting because then Breaking Bad Cranston played the computer.
Oh, he did play Zordon, didn't he?
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah. I forgot that movie existed. All I remember is people being very upset that Elizabeth Banks played Rita Repulsa.
Yeah. What a good thing to get mad about.
Yep.
I don't, if anything, age has made me understand the Power Rangers less. Like with experience comes less understanding of the Power Rangers. I was hoping to find a cartoon that was just like Rangers and then I could get kind of a intro level.
Oh,
but
okay.
You go right to power,
right?
And I don't know. And I forgot to put away Pocket's toy. This is a morning. You vamp about the Power Rangers while I just go 2 feet and flip over this piece.
Okay.
Of plastic.
Will you have your headphones on, or will I need to repeat myself? Yeah. Okay. He'll have his headphones on. Yeah. I mean, like, I also feel like I understand Power Rangers less. They did that thing. They did like an Aqua Teen Hunger Force thing where like after a certain point, every new season was just considered to be a different show. So that's a bummer. But like I was right in the pocket, like when the show came here to America, when Power Rangers debuted. Okay. So it was like what, 1993, 1994, you know, I was 6 or 7, which is perfect Power Rangers time. So like, when we moved into a new house, like the house that my family lived in until like 2 years ago, like the most exciting thing was living in a house as opposed to a, you know, an apartment or a trailer. But B, I had my own room and I had Power Rangers decals on the wall and I had Power Rangers sheets and comforter on my bed.
Pretty cool.
I got in trouble. Ladies. I got in trouble for playing Power Rangers and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and just broadly playing karate on the playground, you know, doing violent play based on these things. So I was like right in the pocket for this.
It is kind of interesting that like most children's entertainment of the time involved ninja kicking people in the face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like there's a real, you know, we I'm sure we talked about nunchucks, like,
yeah,
you can't get a hold of some nunchucks. And how, like, I never got in trouble for it, but that was definitely a thing for me as a kid too, like playing karate. And it's like, well, let's just hit each other.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the play. You know, there was no story. Like, there was less story than there is in the Power Rangers.
Let's just wail on each other with sticks.
Yeah. Like, let's just like hit sticks against each other. You know, and there's so little like narrative to the imagination of it. It was just like, what if some kids, like, you know, hit each other?
It's like, okay, we've got some kid. There are kids who are at the top of the jungle gym that's shaped like a boat, and we need to get them off of the jungle gym that is shaped like a boat. So you huck these very hard basketballs at them while we make our ascent and try and dethrone them.
Yeah, distract us before we brain them.
Right.
No. And if you brain them a little bit along the way, I ain't going to complain.
Yeah. Hey, Piggy, you know, look.
Bonus brains. You know, if any brainings happen, you know, I'm in. Down for braining of children.
Oh, man.
Gary Butterfield, podcaster. TV. My views represent the network.
Yep.
legally represent the network. I was obviously too old for this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as mentioned, as a 13-year-old, like, I'd moved on to Beavis and or Butthead.
Yeah.
At this point, and Simpsons and stuff. Like, my thing was Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. For my kicking.
Yes.
It always struck me as more fantastic, in a way that really appealed to me. Like, the thing that I think that stops the Power Rangers or Sentai stuff from being interesting to me at all now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the heroes seem really indistinguishable to me. Like, in Power Rangers, they all had a different weapon.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really it. And, like, you could say, like, well, that's the Turtles, too. And it was the Turtles as well, but they were fucking turtles. Like, that does a lot of work.
Yeah. You know? No, and so it does do a lot of lizards. Work. As somebody who liked all of these, you know, and as I liked the Turtles and I liked the Power Rangers at the time, it was like, yeah, the Turtles had their, you know, like, okay, you could tell them apart by the color of bandana they wore, their weapon, but also, like, wherever they were, they had their personality, you know?
Yeah.
Like, each of them brought something different to the table. Whereas, like, with the Power Rangers, because the fight scenes, which is what you were there for anyway, because the fight scenes were just overdubbed stuff from a different show, like, yeah, they had the different color outfits and they had the different weapons. And, like, yeah, they had little quips that were ADR'd over, you know, over top of the footage. But, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, it wasn't enough. Like, they had, like, worse and weirder and more poorly defined roles on the team. Whereas, like, with the Turtles, you kind of knew who was bringing what to the table. And it was formulaic every time, you know?
Yeah.
And also, like, when the shows weren't, you know, or when Power Rangers wasn't showing you the people in the Sentai suits doing fights and getting in their Zords and stuff.
The worst high school drama.
Yeah.
When it was sub Saved by the Bell.
Like, it was just like high school kids with high school problems. And, you know, that is interesting to some young kids. I had no desire to be in high school, though. I had no desire to really grow up. So, like, I don't know, that part was kind of boring. You just kind of watched it because you didn't want to be away from the TV when the stuff you were there for happened.
Yeah, I never really put that together. But who is this for? Like, because if you're seven, you like the fights.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you're, like, you know, little too young for Saved by the Bell, you like, you know, oh, I got a big study for the big math test.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, this was not for people who were peers of the Power Rangers.
Right.
The Power Rangers looked like pubescent to me. Extremely pubescent.
Yeah. I need you to, if not reduce, at least change the emphases that you're putting on saying extremely pubescent.
All right, let me try again. Extremely pubescent.
There we go.
Is that better?
Solved all the problems.
Yeah, because it's you know, there's no way that, like, you know, the Power Rangers, you know, weren't already experimenting with each other and stuff. And it was very weird. Like, kid shows, when they show real life stuff,
yeah,
you know, and they're for, like, real little kids,
mm-hmm.
like, I don't know, real little kids don't care about that stuff. You know, it's like you have to be in, like, the Rugrats zone where it's, like, talking about little kid adventures, but it's aimed, like, maybe a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Like, Rugrats wasn't for babies.
Yeah. You know? It's super weird, like, what you show as, like, aspirational for them.
Yeah.
Because, like, there definitely are shows that are, you know, that are about, like, you know, I think about something that came well after my time, but, like, I watched younger family members be into it, like iCarly or whatever it was.
Sure.
Which I've seen too many episodes of, you know, as a grown man. But, like, that idea was, you know, it was aimed at 10-year-olds who were really, like, interested in the fantasy of being, like, a 15 or 16-year-old who was, like, popular at school and also, like, was a YouTube personality. Like that, that was on the crest of the wave,
the
crest of the wave there, you know?
Yeah.
And even, like, more mundane stuff as a kid, you know, like your Doug or your Hey Arnold. It was about like, what have you, how, like, what if these characters were at the school, but they had these weird friends?
Yeah. Yeah. It was just little situations, but it was a very colorful cast of characters.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Power Rangers are not a colorful cast of characters. Mm-hmm. Like, it is less colorful than a Saved by the Bell. All being very similar.
Yeah.
And just like with less jokes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember the adult, other than like Bulk and Skull, which are meant to be just kind of a joke in general, based entirely on like the like dummy music that they played when they were out.
Yeah.
But there were no jokes in the show. It was just like, you know, we have to go study, you know, let's go to the homeroom.
Right.
You know, let's eat some lunch.
Yeah. Let's make fun of this nerd. Look, I'm Billy. I'm the Blue Ranger.
It's a little bit like shitty Spider-Man. Like, Spider-Man's always doing that, just doing school shit. And then all of a sudden he has to go do Spider-Man jobs.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a little bit like that, but without like writing. It's just really, really weirdly boring.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, like, I definitely understand the, like, watching it for the fighting, because it just, you know, choreographed fight scenes, which as a kid, like, that's fucking catnip.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'll watch like a giant, you know, somebody in a giant robot suit fight somebody in a giant lizard suit. Fine.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm a kid. I don't know any better. Like,
as a kid, me and my friend Austin, who watched it from time to time, basically were entirely about Balkan Skull.
Right.
Because of the sound effects. And then also Rita Repulsa saying, like, make him grow, which we delightfully made about a dick.
Right, right.
As teens, you know, because I was 13, 14 at the time, and it's just like, what if Rita Repulsa, you know, who undeniably, you know, Fox, looked at your dick and, like, made it grow like, you know, like one of her Zords or one of her big monsters. You know?
Yeah, yes.
Because that was the level I was operating at.
Right, right.
So, pretty cool.
you were 13. You know, any port in a storm.
Yeah, yeah. at all. So.
Yeah. Hey, Pocket.
Yeah, Pocket's not. I've been living through a psyop for the last couple of days, where there's just a continuous engine noise outside my house.
Right,
and
right.
And Pocket does not like it either.
Yeah, no. The current theory is that it's COINTELPRO. It's back, baby. Yeah. Maybe a little.
I'm basically being 5G'd.
Yeah, maybe a little dash of MK Ultra in there.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I'm extremely Power Rangers MK Ultra.
I'd fucking watch that. Oh my gosh! Like there are no monsters. There are no robots.
There's just foreign nationals. Like, there's just foreign heads of state.
Yeah,
and like the teens have to go, like, you know, kill the president of, you know.
President under orders of President Zordon.
Yeah,
he is a big head in a tube. That's the only fantastical element.
I love President Zordon. Yeah, and Vice President Skull. So they just have to go, you know, take out Mossad and shit.
Excuse me, sir. Yes, Vice President Skull. The IMF is going to downgrade the U.S. credit rating if we don't address.
To me, my Rangers, you've been activated.
Yep. I'd fucking watch that. That'd be extremely good.
It's a good idea, man. Super Sentai government assassins, you know, basically deployed to the Mideast to protect our interests, you know?
Oh, gosh, keeping our oil prices low or high.
Keep it, you know,
I forget what they want it
to
be now.
Lower prices low, you know, and then they kind of push out their fist in a punch motion.
Oh, Jesus. I'm frantically looking around because I know that at least one of the people on the show got busted for a really bad crime.
Mm.
And my sense was that it was the Green Ranger, because he's the guy who started, like, so he became an MMA fighter. Like, at the time he sold at, like, as the Green Ranger, like a martial arts instruction tape that I wanted very badly, but my parents wouldn't buy me. Wisely, they didn't buy me that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You would have killed yourself.
Right. No, I would have tried to pick a fight with somebody. I'd be destroyed.
Yeah.
No, but like, yeah. So that guy, Jason David Frank, he's an MMA guy. He's super Christian and very right wing. and he has a Christian MMA company called Jesus Didn't Tap.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Christian MMA.
Ooh.
Ooh. Not that I like.
Yeah. But yes, Jesus did not tap out.
Speaking of Jesus Didn't Tap, can I run an idea that just popped into my head?
Yes.
Why wasn't there like a Mortal Kombat pitting all the world religions against each other? Like how there was like world heroes or whatever, you know? And you have Christianity as MMA.
Okay.
You know? And then the other religions as other things I don't want to say because I don't want to be bigoted.
Yeah. Muhammad was a secret character, but it was just a black bar over all of the, drawings because he can't be depicted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll get around that. That's not insensitive.
Yeah, or like more things pitting the world's religions against each other, like tactics games or something.
Yeah,
I think yeah.
You think that would you think that would solve
Cage
problems?
Fighting godly MMA fighter answers.
Is that at JesusDidn'tTap.com or whatever?
No, I just Google searched Christian MMA. Okay. Is Cage Fighting godly?
I mean, if you go back to gladiatorial times,
it's extremely godly.
Yeah, like that's most of what happens.
Religious practice,
right?
Yeah, it was weird. It's weird times.
Yep.
You know.
I know one of these guys got busted for like selling drugs to kids or something like that. Mm. But so far the blue, green, and red rangers are all clean.
There's limitless possibilities. You'll never get to it.
No.
You don't know who it'll be.
Yeah. Black Ranger, he's clean. Yeah, this sucks.
You dreamed it. You had a really boring dream about reading a news article.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
So,
yeah.
You had a COVID dream yet? Like a mask dream where you go someplace and like nobody's wearing masks and it's scary.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah.
I had one where they like reopened this cool looking haunted house and I really wanted to go to it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I went there, it was like no masks allowed.
Which is very funny for anything related to Halloween.
For Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like everyone has to go as themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, no, like I've had one where I was on like a subway car, something like mm-hmm. that. And the doors never opened. And every time I walked to one end of it to try to open it, the car got shorter and more full and nobody was wearing a mask. Yeah.
Yeah. That's no good.
Yeah.
Scary dream.
No. But the most of the time, my anxiety dreams have not been strictly like depicting something about COVID. It has just been recurring stuff about like, oh, I signed, you know, I didn't know I was signed up for this class, but I need to pass the final, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, standbys, yeah. Standards, just basically, you know, imposter syndrome dreams, right?
Yeah. My reoccurring nightmare of missing a flight.
Yes.
So how
is the PS1 game for this?
It's a pretty hard to control kind of three-quarter overhead canted angle brawler. I didn't play very long. I got to the I get it button pretty quick.
Right.
You kind of go around, you don't see enough of the screen, enemies pop out and you do punch and kicks and then you go and rescue people. It was hard to see who was necessarily going to be a bad guy and who's going to be a rescuee.
Okay.
Easily. And that's really it. Like it looks a lot like it has like the same production values as like X-Men Legends.
Oh, weird. Huh?
It looks a little bit like that. Like it's weird. Cause it's a PS1 game. So it's,
right.
It's not a bad looking PS1 game other than like the weird proportions. Like your guy is very short and wide.
Yeah. No, I'm looking at screenshots of it right now. I can't really watch a YouTube or else it'll interrupt the recording, but,
yeah, it's not it was pretty bad, but like mostly unremarkable, like
mm-hmm.
you know, just bad brawler.
Yeah, the Game Boy Color one is actually not that bad. Like if this was an NES side scrolling, you know, like a side scrolling platformer kind of thing, it would actually be you know, not great, not A tier, maybe not B tier, but like B minus tier to a certain extent. Like each of the levels had like three different phases, one where you were navigating around and like using special items to rescue people You know, kind of in these buildings that were a little bit maze-like. It was a little bit like an adventure game.
Turtles.
Yeah.
It's like NES Turtles with like the different items you get that like unlock things. And then, you know, going through a largely enemy-less but hazard-filled kind of level.
So like that's the cool thing to me anyway, is that each level is broken up into three different sections where like first it's rescue. You go and get all the people or as many of them as you can get within 9 minutes. And the second phase is combat. You have 8 minutes to kill as many of the enemies or whatever, the batlings that are around. I didn't get to the city battle, like the Zord battle kind of thing. I imagine that probably got pretty dumb, but like
it looks gross. Like I've been watching a YouTube of it for 23 minutes. It looks really bad. very difficult, like really unfair fighting game, kind of like that Ultraman.
Oh shit! Yeah. Ooh, you know? Yeah, no, I'm looking at this. There's no background.
Yeah, it's very strange. Like, and you have all the, like the Ninja Turtles, you have all the Rangers. Like, after you die, you can switch out for a different Ranger. But they all have different stats, but you just die very quickly.
Yeah.
Lots of cheap deaths. Like, the boss of the second stage, I'm watching this, like, immediately turns into a little ball.
Ooh.
And hits you, like, as soon as you enter. Like, it looks kind of cheap.
Yeah.
To me.
Okay. Well, at least those other two modes are like fine. I was actually pretty, I was pleasantly surprised at how like anodyne it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the little rope climbing animation. It's like very exaggerated. You really swing your hips. I did not get far in the PlayStation version. Like I just was not kind of had like almost like that Die Hard video game, Die Hard trilogy or something.
Oh yeah.
Like a weird kind of it just felt off. It wasn't excruciating, but it didn't feel good.
Yeah. So there's nothing really good on GameFAQs for this, but I want to raise, basically I want to do a here's what annoys me kind of thing, because it's not the first time that I've seen this, but I want
30 seconds on the clock.
Put
a minute on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
In a world of political correctness, one man speaks his opinion. It's time for the Coulter Point. Cool version of the rebuttal field.
It makes it sound like a man Coulter. I don't like that.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. All right.
And Cole Ross.
No. So like on the N64 board, we have somebody named Michael Scott 105, which is very fun. This is 9 years ago. Who has a message. The topic title is "Why the Bad Reviews." And then Michael Scott says, "I never understood why everyone considered this game so bad. I enjoyed it as a child and just again bought it for $1.
That's also on the PlayStation board. Oh, no, that is an Nintendo 64 board. Never mind.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry. I have that open as well.
You see that a lot where somebody goes into a dead board. It doesn't matter that it's a dead board, but somebody walks into a situation where the topic is kind of like a either widely forgotten or disparaged game and says, I'm seeing bad scores for this. Why is that? Why do people hate this thing that I like? When the answer to "I never understood why everyone considered this game so bad," like, there are reviews. You can read people's reasons for that. Yeah. I don't think it's a lazy web thing. I think that they're making an appeal for people who are similarly nostalgic for a thing to validate them and make them feel okay for enjoying a thing they enjoyed.
Yeah. I think that is what's going on.
Okay.
It's very frustrating when they're like, why do people not like it?
Yes.
Like, it is okay to be like, that didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Just being like, this is senseless.
Uh-huh.
You know, come on. It's not so bad. It's like, well, you know, the person who wrote the thing did think it was that bad.
It's like, you can write your own review of it. That's fine. Or you can go in and say, hey, like, if you can look past X, Y, or Z, this is actually pretty good. You know, like, let's talk about the things that are good about this. You can start it. But just to walk in and be like Will Ferrell and Zoolander, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills, like, putting the whole system on trial. It's very weird to me. It gets under my skin.
It's really common. Yeah. Happens all the time on Twitter. Happens everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and it's pretty frustrating. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, guys. Well, you know, no, I, the stakes are low enough to where I don't feel like I have to come on.
No.
You know, it's honestly, this doesn't matter, man. Like, I promise that this is okay.
Yeah.
And also just, you know, this wraps up into like an old frustrating canard of mine. Like, there's part of like saving face for the game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That I see in this, where it's like, you know, if I don't defend the honor of Power Rangers mm-hmm. Lightspeed Rescue, who will?
No
one. It's okay.
It's like,
you know, it's an old Game Boy Advance game. Like,
yeah,
you know,
like you can leave it off. You'll be okay. Like, this isn't In the Line of Fire. You're not Clint Eastwood, like, jumping in and taking all the 1-star reviews from from John Malkovich, who in this equation is like Goku 4/20/69.
Yeah. lots of 90s gun. Movies flexes from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, between Zoolander and whatever this was.
Zoolander was 2000s. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh,
sorry.
Okay. No, no. Just
sorry for mixing up the 90s and the early
2000s. All I'm saying is your point is invalid. No.
Yeah. Well, what is up with everyone saying Zoolander happened in the 90s?
It is a very 90s movie, actually.
I just rented it for $1. yeah. I like that little non sequitur. Like, I just bought it again. It's like, okay, then.
Cool.
Like,
I hope you enjoy it.
Changing the subject.
Yeah, like, go with God.
Go with God, Michael Scott 105.
Yeah.
I was really expecting a lot more from the game facts of this.
Yeah.
And it just didn't pop up. One review by DTM666 says these rangers are powered by pixies. Sad but true. And the review is roughly like 70,000 words long, so I didn't get to where the payoff for that title shows up.
Right.
Like, I got too bored to get to like, what are you talking about, man? But no, it just starts with a long history of the TV show and then just, you know, a lot about the game. So I don't know what the pixies they're talking about are.
I mean, I'll do a control F. Maybe that was something. Oh, wait. Okay. So let's start with the ranger levels. You guide blah, 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 in an open area fighting various flavors of blah, 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 who were created for this game. Each ranger has the ability to shoot magical pixie shots. No, really. They shoot pixie shots out of their hands and feet.
What is that?
Like, so, like, I could believe that the bullshit story was, like, yeah, because they always kind of had a little bit of a mythological thing built into it.
Yeah, if it's not like, Zardoz, oh, you know, be the Fae.
Right, you know? Right. It's like, oh, we've got the Fae folk helping us. Like, okay, yeah. Fine.
Well, they shouldn't mess with powers outside of their understanding, man. I recently read that that's a real big deal. Like,
we need to be able to go outside again. I can't handle it. We're recording this like 2 days before this episode comes out on early release
and 5 days before the moon crashes into the earth. so just so you know.
Between moon curse weekend and then like cannibal discourse, you know.
Dude. I didn't want to bring up Twitter because people don't like that for some reason. They're like, oh, Gary's always bringing up Twitter.
And
I'm like,
no, I'm the one who brought it up this time.
Well, and a bunch of like witches said that, like, on TikTok said that the moon was going to kill this woman. Like, it doesn't matter that it came from Twitter. That's worthy of note.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can be annoyed by Twitter, but also, like, tell me that isn't interesting.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's a, we need to go outside is a pretty good way to put it. Like,
yeah.
The cannibalism stuff got me real good yesterday. Like, I got exhausted like instantly.
I only ever saw people reacting to it was a thing.
Mm.
Big Joel had an amazing tweet about it. Like, so all of you people who are talking bad about eating flesh need to grow up. It produces an amazing high.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But like, what, can you tell me what the actual thing was? Did somebody come out and say like cannibalism is ethical if they agree to let you
just
do
in
it?
General?
Oh,
I mean, okay. Like, and like, it was basically, I mean, he did talk about consensual cannibalism, but also just like, basically the argument was, it was like a 6-tweet thread about how sometimes it's consensual. Prions aren't real. Like, that's actually just from badly prepared meat. It's no different than eating any other animal, and how they would like to do it. and then got like really defensive, like pre-defensive about people calling him out, and then got very defensive about people actually calling them out.
I feel pretty, you know, I'm not going to pass judgment on those soccer players who crashed in the Andes or whatever, you know.
I am.
Okay.
Like, fuck those guys, man. Like, not because I had money on that game. I don't care what they do in their off time. That's none of my business. But
Hey, Gary, that was really funny. I want you to know that you really tickled me with that one.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Yeah. Thanks.
No, I don't know. If somebody already feels bad about it, there's probably not a lot of reason to heap on them, you know? So
who are you doing this disclaimer for, man? Like how many of our listeners do you think have you eaten flesh under duress?
Gary, it's very important. Gary, it's very important that I be seen as the reasonable
under any circumstances, even in the most extreme of edge cases.
I'm thinking more for myself, okay? I am, Gary, I am demonstrating empathy by saying if I crashed with a soccer team in the Andes and I ate somebody in order to survive, I wouldn't want somebody making me feel worse about it, because that would already
on
be
a podcast
thing
about Power Rangers
that would
rescue
haunt me to my, I'm not stopping. That would haunt me until the day that I die.
Sure.
I forget where I was going with this.
I don't know. It was extremely weird, though. I don't think it was anywhere. It felt like you were going, but then you had to, like, you got stuck in the weeds, man.
Yeah, no, I got wrapped around the axle on this. No, but eating a person is the worst thing you can do. Like, it's literally a thing that, like, makes you a monster. There are so many myths about it. Like, it fucking sucks. And the fact that you have somebody going online and saying, no, prions aren't real.
Well, basically, prions are real, but most, like any other disease you get from meat, it's because of improper preparation.
Okay.
Not because of inherent badness.
Right.
So if you, the point being, if like you cook the human extremely well, and like, and there's a real weird, one of the tweets is like very sensual. Like he talks like about how he wishes that he was eaten when he died, hopefully prepared with like really good spices.
Well, I mean,
and stuff. And it just, it's a really weird non sequitur. Like, I mean, the answer is they're jerking off to it. Like it's not that complicated, but it was very weird in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, and how did this reach the level of the atmosphere where everybody could see it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I saw the discourse first and then back traced
you,
it.
You traced it down. Yeah.
I just like searched, you know, cannibalism discourse and found it, 'cause there's cannibalism discourse now.
Yeah.
In addition to like that girl who died because Apollo got revenge because she messed with the fair folk.
Yeah. I'm less worried about Apollo get rounding up a fair folk posse. And I'm more worried about witches on TikTok harassing a 12-year-old until she dies. That I think is the more pressing danger of this, maybe.
Yeah. None of it is good. It's all pretty stupid. Like I try to be I am understanding about, like, to me, like, a Wiccanism is really no different than any other religion.
Right. That, like, yeah.
I don't take it from you if it does good for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I don't believe in it. It all seems pretty equally silly to me.
Yeah.
You know, not in a Christopher Hitchens way, just kind of in general. Like, yeah, I just don't, it's not for me. But I'm not going to try to take it from you. But this is like, I feel like this is undeniably laughable.
There was such an immediate consensus about what the ramifications were of this. And I, you know, I'll cop to a large amount of ignorance about this. You know, I've got, you know, no idea if they're pulling from a text, but it's kind of like, you know, just the second this came forward, there were people saying, no, this is what's going. That's like they were talking about foreign policy. It was like, shit, we bombed that. We killed that Iranian general. And like, here are the things that possibly could happen. This is really bad, guys. Like, except it's witches talking about the moon.
What was wild about it was it wasn't just like, you know, I'm fucked as a witch talking about the moon. It was we as humanity are really fucked.
Yes.
Like there was a lot of warning cadence to it, like a warning, like addressed to, not unaddressed to me,
right?
Like I should now be scared of the moon because of what a 12-year-old did on TikTok.
Yeah,
and that is a cursed fucking sentence. You know, like, yeah. I just, yeah, it was, you know, I try not to be like so cranky old man. Like if something is explicitly the domain of the young,
yeah,
I try, and I'm not saying I'm successful at it, but I do put in a little bit of an effort not to immediately dismiss it.
Mm-hmm.
So if this isn't just like, ugh, TikTok, but like just being like, oh, they tried to hex, like, I don't know, man, it's really, really hard for me to take seriously, even with all of my like cultural relativism muscles flexed.
Right, right.
You know, in terms of like just accepting like moon worship or moon spirituality as a thing, mm-hmm. and just being like, yeah, somebody said they hexed it. And this isn't just, you know, inadvisable. It's mm-hmm. straight up very dangerous to you, Gary Butterfield.
Yeah. And for me, the fact that it broke through like that, and it was one more thing that people were trying to make me upset and stressed about.
Yeah.
You know, not successfully, but it still made me really annoyed.
I slept with one eye open.
Well, yeah.
And that eye open was on a telescope. So I was,
I've just been saying the entirety of the Three for the Moon sketch from Kids in the Hall since this past weekend. See that moon? Yeah. That moon there.
Yeah. it is there something to it too? And like, again, I'm always scared of sounding like saying something I feel like Joe Rogan would say.
Yeah.
That guy fucking sucks. There is an element of this though, that to me struck as like, we have a crisis too.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not trying to be like, oh, like, you know, whenever anybody has a problem, they're just wanting to be oppressed. I'm not saying that.
A bunch of 12-year-olds on TikTok canceled the moon, Gary.
Yeah, that can't be real. That has to be an attention-seeking claim. You know, I very, very, very much doubt the genuineness of that claim.
Right.
As a thing, like, you know, not only do I not take it seriously because it's laughable,
uh-huh.
but also I don't feel like it's meant in good faith.
It's a pretty strong Hail Mary pass to from within your community say, yeah, we have moon problems. We need to take this to the normies.
We need moon solutions from from Gen Pop.
Yeah.
You know, Gen Pop moon solution is what we need. You know? Like, I don't know, man. It's really upsetting to me. I did not like it. I was very irritated by it. And I missed it too. I missed it when it was happening.
Oh, same. I had to piece it together. Yeah. I had to be like, I was offline that entire day. I think I was like playing Disco Elysium or something like that. And I just saw people talking about it. I was like, oh my God, I need to like,
yeah. Is this real?
Yeah.
And it turns out, yes. And it's just like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Maybe don't bully a 12-year-old if they made a dumb video about the moon.
Yeah. You know, and just like, how do you keep a job when you like, you go on there and you're like, no, this shit's serious. And then you go into work the next day
mm-hmm.
and you're like, how are you doing, man? And you're like, oh, I don't know. I'm pretty upset because not teens. They weren't teens yet. Tweens,
yeah.
Because some tweens made a TikTok about cursing the moon.
If
I'm pretty upset, I don't know if I can come in today.
If
like, I don't like it.
Yeah. Oh man. I know that we've reached time, but like, I have one last thing about this, which is to say. If those teens were trying to troll people by making those videos, like if specifically trying to make people who believe in moon worship get really panicked, that's really extremely funny to me.
It's very effective. Like,
yeah.
Who would have thought that would work?
It seems like a very low cost, high return way to cause as much chaos as possible. And you can say, yeah, that's mean. You don't do that. But also it's very funny in a vacuum. If that was the goal.
There's gotta be like, I don't, you know, I'm generally like, I feel like I'm generally pretty soft on people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there has to be at least a little level of caveat emptor, you know, in terms of like somebody taking responsibility for their own panic.
Yeah.
And if like, it's a little bit on the witches for panicking about the moon being hexed. It's not just on the people who hacked the moon.
Right.
At the very least, that is a shared responsibility. I do not buy that, like, oh, that's just a cruel act, and it doesn't matter if I don't believe it. They believed it, and it caused suffering, and anything that caused suffering is bad.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you have to have a little bit of a thick skin. Like, I don't generally think of myself as a thick skin guy, but just a little bit. You know, just a little bit to where you're like, oh, yeah, a 12-year-old did a spell on the moon.
Yeah.
Maybe I can let this one go. You know?
Yeah. Maybe this is... Yeah, and I've got no idea. I have no idea what their beliefs are, to how credible they thought that threat would be. I'm saying this as somebody who... I don't think that personally anything that I do, even if I say magic words, will have an effect on the moon. I think the moon's going to continue doing its thing regardless. I don't think the
moon... It's one of my favorite things about the moon.
Yeah.
Like, the moon is steady, dude.
The moon does... Like, the moon is tidally locked. We're all, it only shows us one part of it, and that's all we're ever going to see. I have a tremendous amount of respect for the moon.
Yeah, the moon is agnostic to our presence, like Dark Souls is.
Yes,
you know, like I feel like the moon is, you know, we went up there, we played golf on it, we had an egg on it, and that's about all we can do.
Yes,
like it's in the moon's court now,
Gary. You know? Gary, did you see the video of the astronauts falling over on the moon?
No.
This was passed around on Twitter. I had never seen this footage before, but it's footage of moonwalks, you know, that happened in the, you know, in the 70s, where the astronauts were not prepared for the gravity, and it's all of them falling over very slowly. And then their buddies trying to help them back up. It's really funny, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty good. And they look very drunk to me.
Yeah. Because they're in 1/6 gravity.
Yeah. Yeah, that means they're 6 times as drunk. That's one reason why I couldn't be an astronaut, because I would fall over all the time.
I fall over on, like, regular Earth, on terra firma.
Yeah. Yeah, on 6/6 gravity. Like, I fall over all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is pretty fun.
Yeah. No, just to
Did you ever, like, you know, like, this, we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Just in the realm of funny internet stuff, because it's turned into an internet stuff episode.
Okay, that's fine.
Things being slow. Did you ever watch the video of slowing down Jonathan Frakes from the beginning of Beyond Belief? Like, you know, I'm talking, you know,
yeah, Belief, where, right? He sounds drunk.
Like,
you might be, have you ever,
Dennis, when's the last time you looked at a sunset? Like, it's really good.
God.
Like,
oh, man.
Do you have any pets? Like, it's just very, very well observed, like, outside the bar. Townie, you know, interview.
Yep. Oh yeah. The stuff people have done, even just by doing like montages of those, just like,
yeah,
here's every single one of them, of Jonathan Frakes asking every possible question about your life.
I love them so much. That show is really fun. A bunch of it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it's very comforting.
I told you about the Mickey Rooney game, right? Or the Andy Rooney game.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We're done here. We fit everything that I have to say.
We done. We have another episode to record, but luckily I have a stunt.
Oh shit. I've got a stunt too. Okay.
We got stunts. So, thank you for sponsoring this episode, Dr. Wen.
Yes.
We appreciate you. Sorry. Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about the game more. I did not get far into it.
You played the wrong game, man.
I did play the wrong game. Yeah. I've now watched 46 minutes of this other one though.
Oh yeah. No,
so I feel like I've got a pretty good idea.
You've seen more of it than I played. Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you like the show, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, and patronize us. $5 gives you bonus episodes of this every month. The leaf blower just shut off outside.
Ooh.
It feels like a fog just lifted.
Yeah.
Nice.
Huh.
Head on over there. We appreciate you for doing so. You can also leave us ratings and reviews on Apple Podcast.
Mm-hmm. All of that is good. We've gotten a spate of nice reviews, possibly because we asked for them. But it
seems
still
pretty
good.
Probable.
Yeah, it seems pretty pretty plausible. Yeah. I need to put out another call for these outros. But yeah, go ahead and do all of those things. And until next time, keep your chins up. Life and suffering are infinite.